UWA-517, do you want to report a UFO?
Negative. We don't want to report.
Ares 31, do you wish to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We won't report one of those either.
Ares 31, do you wish to file a report of any kind? Over.
I wouldn't know what kind of report to file, sir.
Ares 31, me neither.
There 71 Papa Golf, go ahead.
And was there anybody at above us that passed us like 30 seconds ago?
There 71 Papa Golf, negative.
Okay. Stop this. It's a UFO.
Yeah. Hey, it's American 1095. Yeah, something just passed over. Don't know what it was, but it's at least 2,000-3,000 feet above us. Yeah, it passed right over the top of us.
911.
You guys busy? Do we just call about the UFOs? They're out there. Taking airplanes.
And it is such. Bob, I swear to God, four calls in on an unidentified object over Liberty. Four calls on an unidentified flying object.
All right, take a look. All right, we'll check it out.
Welcome to UFO Chronicles, a place where people share their experiences of the strange and unexplained. If you've had an encounter and would like to be on the show, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com. Hello everyone and welcome to the show, wherever in the world you are joining us from. How are you all? I'm Nick Hunter and this is the UFO Chronicles podcast. We start off tonight with Blast from California with an encounter of a black diamond shaped UFO hovering over her back deck. Then for our second guest we speak with Daniel in Hungary about his UFO and paranormal experiences. Blas is up next. If you enjoy listening to the podcast and would like to help support my work, there is a couple of ways to do this. Either you can join Patreon and become a patron of the show for as little as $5 a month, or you can donate via PayPal. And if you like, you can set up monthly reoccurring payments. All links to support the podcast are below in the show notes and on the website. Any help is extremely appreciated, and it helps the show to continue running. Now, on with the show. Hello, Blas, and welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you very much for having me.
You are more than welcome, and you're calling from California.
Correct.
Would you like to take us back to your encounter and let the listeners know exactly what you saw, please, ma'am?
I would love to, because the further I get away from this, it feels like I'm losing part of it, and I don't want to lose it. So I'm grateful to you for providing me this opportunity to get it on tape or whatever. So this happened back in late 2020. It was winter time because I was living in the mountains, and I know that I have had a two-story house. My bedroom was downstairs, my living room was upstairs, and off the living room was a deck. And I have a degenerating spine. My spine is disintegrating. I have collapsed discs, and so it's very difficult for me to sleep through the night. And I usually end up waking up about 1-2 o'clock in the morning, and that's what happened on this particular morning late in 2020. And plus it was cold, and there's a floor bent upstairs on that I did like to sit on. I don't live in this house anymore. So I had gone upstairs. It was probably about between two and three o'clock in the morning. I had gone upstairs and sat in my recliner. There was nothing else on in the house. The recliner faced the outside deck, and I had sliding glass doors from, you know, the floor to the ceiling in front of me. And I was just sitting in my recliner, you know, looking outside, looking at the night sky. And then I was probably in the recliner, maybe sitting upright in the recliner, maybe 5 minutes. And then all of a sudden, out of the blue, this black diamond shape appeared hovering over my back deck. Now, to describe the shape, it wasn't a straight lines on the diamond. They were more concave. And I could see, you might be saying, well, how did you see this black diamond against the black sky? It's because there was flames around the whole the whole perimeter of the diamond was surrounded by these flames. And so I could see it, and I could see that it had depth. It was just, I was in such astonishment. I mean, I'm 63 years old. I've had some pretty phenomenal things happen to me before in my life, but never, ever anything like this before. And so I was pretty much glued to my chair. I wanted desperately to get up and to get my phone, but I found that I couldn't move. Whatever this diamond was that was outside hovering over my deck, it just had, I could see it, I could register what was happening, but I could not physically move off of my chair. My feeling was just awe through this entire event. I wasn't afraid. I was just like, oh, wow, it's finally happening. Because I've always kept an open mind to these things, you know, but I've always said that, well, if one really exists, I want it to land in my backyard, ha, ha, ha. And then it's like, here it is. It hasn't landed because there's no place to land in your yard. But there is this awesome deck where there's no power lines. And it was the perfect place for this diamond-like shape to just appear out of nowhere. And so we sat there. I sat there engaging with it. I don't know exactly what we did. I was just like in awe and just disbelief the whole time. Didn't feel fear. Didn't feel like it was out to harm me. I just felt totally at peace, except for the fact that I could not get out of my chair. And that kind of bothered me because I don't like to be restrained in any way. And I did feel as if there was, every time I tried to make a move to get out of the chair, I felt like something was forcing me back into the chair. So this entire encounter probably lasted, I'm going to say, anywhere from maybe 5 to 10 minutes. And then as quickly as it had appeared, it suddenly vanished. And then I was left with the flat expanse of sky. I looked at my clock because I know I have read about, you know, time loss and all that. I didn't lose any time. It was like, you know, 10 minutes past whatever time I had started to experience the black diamond. So I wasn't abducted. There wasn't any time loss. But what it did was it showed to me that what we perceive as space, as being like a flat space, is not flat. There's dimension. There's dimensionality to space-time. And that's where this diamond shape came from. It came interdimensionally. So that's why I say it's more of a UAP as opposed to a UFO, because UFOs, you know, it seems like they've come, well, I guess I don't know if there's any difference or not, but it proved to me that what we see in our normal, ordinary reality of perception is not all there is. There's so much more. And in trying to explain the flames, I know I've made a drawing of this again so that I wouldn't forget it. In trying to explain the flames that I saw all around the perimeter, I have since become, as you can imagine, I didn't know anything about reporting this. I didn't know about that you were supposed to report this to MUFON. So I had no idea what to do with what I had just experienced. I was too embarrassed to tell my son, although I did end up telling him much later. And then this brought out a bunch of other stuff from him about what he has experienced. So I didn't know what to do, but I did research it. I did, after this occurred, I did everything in my power to research, to think, you know, to see if anybody else has had this experience. And I since joined MUFON, and what I realized was that I was not the only one experiencing the diamond or a geometric shape, that MUFON has regular sightings of people seeing my particular diamond shape of at least 5 per month throughout the world, I'm guessing. And also, getting back to the flame, I watched the Skinwalker Ranch video, and I had never seen a Tesla coil before in, you know, to see what it does. But in that particular flick on Netflix, they showed what a Tesla coil emits as far as the flames. That is exactly what I saw around the perimeter of this diamond shape, because it wasn't like it was on fire. But if you've ever seen a Tesla coil, the, you know, the whatever it is that it emits, that's exactly what it was around this diamond shape. I've since moved from the house, unfortunately, because I feel like I had a portal there. This was my first encounter of this type, but I had other weird experiences living there. I've since moved down to Yucaipa. I have not experienced anything like it since. And it's kind of a disappointment. It's a letdown. But then again, it's okay. Something has told me that it is there. And I feel that, you know, even though there's other people, you know, in the MUFON report that are experiencing these shapes, I still feel special. I feel that it had somehow sought me out because it appeared over my back deck. You know what I mean? It wasn't where people experience the UFOs and thousands and the entire city of Phoenix sees the, it wasn't like that. This was very up close and personal to me, for me. And so I will never forget the experience, and I'm just happy to be able to share it. And hopefully, because in my search and trying to find other people who have experienced this black diamond, I am hoping that, you know, that I can share my experience to make other people who have maybe experienced a geometric shape or a black diamond coming out of space, that they're not alone. And that's my story.
Wonderful, Blas. Such an interesting sight. And they do come in all shapes and sizes. And I get diamonds on air. I get cubes, you name it, all different shapes and sizes. The flame that you described. So it wasn't like a burning normal fire flame.
No.
The color, what kind of color was it?
It was like a yellowish, white color. So it wasn't orange. That's why it wasn't like real fire. It was like a yellowish, kind of like a pale yellow light, but it was all around the sides. And it was almost like it was showing me that it had depth, because at one point, I'd say at the bottom part of it, I could see, I know this sounds weird, but I'm sure you're just hearing the weirdness, but I could see the dimensions. I could see the fact that it was going inwards into space, and that space does have dimension. It's not flat. I don't have words to describe it any other way. It showed, the flames allowed me to see the dimensionality of the diamond.
So the effects was a bit like, you know, like a plasma ball.
Yes, not sure what a plasma ball would look like, but yeah, I'm thinking it probably would, because it wasn't flames, like you said, it wasn't flames like fire. It was more, all I can describe it is exactly like what a Tesla coil would emit. It's that kind of energy, light thing, whatever it is, whatever it was.
It's interesting that you're saying about the color, and the effect could be something to do with the effect in the electromagnetic field.
Yes.
Just like Tesla coil did.
Yes.
Can you gauge a size of the object from where you were?
I'd say it was probably about 2 to 3 feet in height, maybe 2 feet in diameter. It was fairly close to my glass. It was fairly close, but yet it was probably maybe a couple feet away from the glass. And in doing my research about the radiation effects, I realize now that the glass is probably what protected me from any type of radiation that, you know, because I've, you know, done reading as far as like the people at Skinwalker Ranch and the radiation effects. I'm thinking it was my dual pane glass slider that protected me from any possible radiation.
Did you personally have any health-wise after the event? Anything that was different?
No, nothing different, except for one. This is not health-wise, but and again, I don't know how much of it is being. This is why it was like I was a totally pure, uncontaminated subject, because I hadn't done any research prior to this. But now afterwards, of course, I am researching and I am hearing about all these other effects. And I did, you know, read about the hitchhiker effect as far as the people at Skinwalker bringing home things to their friends and relatives. And what was really interesting to me is that my son, I have an only child, he's 34 years old. He lives on his own. He's a firefighter, and I'm very, very proud of him. And I feel like he's down to earth compared to me, but he had a very interesting synchronistic event shortly after this that was just unbelievable when he told me about. I mean, it wasn't health-wise, but again, it was this synchronistic events that I did find have increased in my life tenfold since this happened.
You know, a lot of people that have experiences, they tend to get opened up to things that they normally wouldn't have done, and then sometimes affect other people around you.
Well, what's interesting is, like I said, I've always had an open mind to this, and I have a master's degree in psychology, and I got very interested in parapsychology when I was going to school and college and Charles Tart and all the researchers at the time. And I was very interested in trying to prove, you know, this stuff exists. And then I just started to lose the interest because it's like, well, once you prove it, or you can't prove it. That's the whole thing. And that there's no need to prove it to the people who really know. And for those who don't know and don't will never understand it, there's no point in proving it. So I always had synchronistic events, and I was, but never, ever to this degree. I mean, it's to the point now where I will say something out loud because I live alone and I have a tendency to talk to myself. And the next thing I know, I'm hearing the exact same word on television. I mean, it's that kind of thing. It's where the synchronistic event is almost instantaneous at this point. So it's the woo has intensified tenfold from what it was.
Welcome to the woo. Big shout out to your son. We have deep respect for firefighters all over the world.
Thank you.
Now, the object, you said it completely vanished just like that.
Yes.
Did you see it appear, or was it just there?
It was just there. It came out of nowhere. It just popped into view suddenly. And hence my shock and awe, because it was like, all right, you know, you're suddenly looking at this black sky with stars, you know, expecting to continue to see the same thing. And then all of a sudden this thing appears out of nowhere. So yeah, it just appeared, and it disappeared as quickly as it had appeared.
I mean, you can certainly hear the excitement in your voice as well when you were telling it.
It was totally the most awesome thing I have ever experienced in my entire life. It really was.
And now it's put you on a mission to discover more.
It has, because I know that there is for sure, because of my own experience. I always knew, you know, I always had this knowing, this intuitive knowing that there was much more. But now I know for sure because I did experience it. But it was like a couple months. Okay, this was in late 2020. So in January of 2021, I ended up joining the app Clubhouse. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but it is worldwide. It's an audio social media app. And from Clubhouse, I did find out, that's how I found out about MUFON, because there's MUFON investigators on there. I found out about a bunch of things regarding this. And I do get the MUFON. I've subscribed to the MUFON letter. I have a hard time with a lot of it because I feel like people are trying to make a buck out of this whole thing, which I think is totally wrong. I've always felt that it's wrong to try to make a buck off spirituality or even things like this. And there's a whole bunch of people out there who are. And so I am kind of turned off by that. And I feel like MUFON, and this is not to put down MUFON, but the fact that they're selling merchandise, shirts and hats and all that, I mean, that really turns me off. But I do like seeing the shapes. I do, because they give an absolute listing of all the geometric shapes that have been seen throughout the world and how many people have reported them. So I do follow that. I'm reluctant. I shared it a couple times on Clubhouse, but you're probably maybe the third person that I have shared this with, because there's still a part of me. I'm from that generation. I'm 63 and I'm part of that generation where, you know, if you told anybody about this kind of stuff, they would think you were a loony bit, dude. And so part of me still, that was my reluctance to even tell my son about it, was because of that stigma attached to it. But you know what? I no longer have that, because there's just too much evidence at this point, even though what was released from the government is really the most minimalistic thing they could have possibly released. At least it was a start. At least there was something showing that there is legitimacy to the whole UFO phenomena. I still give this, I think I told you or I had mentioned that I still give it a 10% chance that this could have been man-made tech, because I think that's out there. I do feel that we have, you know, have the alien tech, and we are reverse engineered it since Roswell. And I think we are experimenting with it. However, I give it a 10% chance it could have been man-made, but I just don't. I mean, I don't think it was. I don't think it was. My intuition tells me it was not man-made.
Since the government has come out and released, you know, I know it's only been stepping stones and small tidbits of information, but it is a start. And it has brought a few more people out of the woodwork to share their accounts. And you know, Blas, your age bracket is probably about 60% of my guests that are coming out and sharing their accounts that they've never told before.
That's interesting. That's very, very interesting. And it probably has to do with that stigma, because I see all these old men, these old men on TV, like the guy from the Israeli defense that was talking about how, you know, we were living with on Mars, that there's a colony of Earth people with Martians, and with the Israelis, there are living on Mars. And it's like these people are now dying, these old people, and they don't want to go to their deathbeds with this information because they know that this could possibly benefit humanity. So that is very interesting that it is my age group. And I think that has a lot to do with it, that they don't want to go, they don't want to die knowing that they haven't fulfilled whatever mission or whatever they were supposed to do here on Earth. And I think that's got a lot to do with it.
Plus, it is extremely liberating for someone to come out and share something, finally get it off their chest. They've never told. They may have told a couple of members of the family, but generally, you know, nobody knows. And a lot of that, also some of that is to do with people's jobs. You know, they don't want their peers to find out, especially if they're in professional jobs, which I get an awful lot of guests that are quite high, top of their game, I should say, you know, but my guests are from all walks of life. My guests don't come from the TV. They're not on the lecture circuit. I avoid them.
Good.
I say this show isn't for you, but this show is predominantly only for everyday people.
Good.
And you're right about MUFON. The downside of MUFON is that you have to pay a membership to be able to view all their information.
Yes.
Everybody knows MUFON. You know, everybody knows them. A lot of people, you know, when they have a site and they have no interest in the subject, they don't know where to go. You know, that's normal. But in America, you've got the National UFO Reporting Center, which is free to file a report. It's free to view past sightings. And they're the same. They have shapes on there. They have times and dates. And so that's a wonderful place to file a report to.
Okay, that's good to know for the future.
I mean, you can even add historic ones. I always say to people, you know, if you've had a sighting and never report it, you know, just report it, because a lot of researchers will go, and people like yourself, you know, where you've tried looking around to see where other people have seen this diamond shape, and it's just a good place where people can go and check out the archives.
Okay, that's good to know.
Wonderful, what an interesting sighting, Blas. I really appreciate you coming on, sharing that for our listeners.
Okay, no problem. Thank you for having me. I'm glad we got this done.
you're more than welcome.
Thank you.
It's wonderful talking to you today. Take care of yourself, and we'll speak soon.
Bye-bye.
Introducing the High Strangeness Coffee Blend by Redacted Coffee Company, a medium roast of the Brazilian kind. This medium roast offers flavors of chocolate and vanilla combined with a distinct fruity taste and a unique sweet floral aroma. The experience of high strangeness doesn't end there, with a sweet butter aftertaste that doesn't fade as your coffee cools. This coffee regains its flavors all the way through your cup, ensuring it truly is good to the last drop. The veteran-funded, employee-owned Redacted Coffee Company and UFO Chronicles podcast have partnered together to bring you the best coffee on and off the planet. Get 20% off your first order now at redactedcoffee.com/UFO. That's redactedcoffee.com/UFO. Or follow the link below in this episode's description, or click on the banner of my website. This podcast is fueled by coffee oozing high strangeness. So what are you waiting for? Wake up to the strange. You're Napot, Daniel, and welcome to the show.
You're Napot, Nick. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us today, and you're calling from Budapest in Hungary.
That is right, the capital.
And you are our very first guest from Hungary, so that's good to hear, Daniel.
Thank you. Looking forward to it.
Now, Daniel, you have some UFO and paranormal experiences to share with us. Would you like to start at the beginning, please?
Yes, thank you. Just a few words about myself. I'm Daniel from Hungary, Budapest, as you have already mentioned. I'm 32 years old now. I was born in 1990, just after the end of the Soviet occupation. That meant that we were able to get our hands on Western media, including movies, books, and whatnot, about UFO, forbidden topic in the during the Soviet occupation. So it was pretty easy for me and also for my family to get into this topic. My mom, especially, she was always really keen on the unidentified things, gray aliens, the whatnot. So that just sets the tone. Let me start with the first account that I have. I was probably six at the time. It was the summer of 1996. I only have really blurry memories about this incident, but I have checked on my mom to ask her out, and our memories are the same of this. So the way it went down, it was a summer evening, a Tuesday. That will play a role later. It is a Tuesday. And my sister had a friend over. We were just hanging out, what to do in a small town. We were looking out the window, and just above the horizon, my mom spotted two red dots. Not an airplane, definitely not an airplane, because they were static. They were just hanging there in the sky. So she yelled at us, "Come look at that. What is that?" We were all standing in the window, standing on the balcony, and watching those two red dots. Then they somehow started to shift colors from red to kind of warm white, like a light bulb. But no fixed structure was there. I mean, I lived there for two decades. I know that it was just pure sky that we were looking at. And as they were switching their colors, yeah, we were getting kind of suspicious what they can be. And they started to move in a kind of erratic way, just bumping from one point to another, switching places, switching colors. I mean, it was just extraordinary. We couldn't figure out what they were. We all, of course, had some regular explanations, like must have been a helicopter or what. No, it wasn't a helicopter. Helicopters have blinking lights as well. Yep, the things somehow vanished from the sky. I really only have vague memories of this. But one thing I forgot, but my mom remembered, that it was a Tuesday. From then on, she was looking out the window constantly, every single night, for hours and hours. And the following Tuesday, the craft appeared again, did just the same thing again, and disappeared. Of course, my mom lost her mind, and she was staring out of the window even more, even longer, just to spot these things again. They never reappeared. But that was the first time when close relatives saw something unexplainable. Just to give a little more background, I was an aeronautics and aviatics and whatnot enthusiast from a really early age. I knew what an airplane looks like, what kind of lights it has, green on the right wing, red on the left wing, and so on and so forth. So I could tell the difference even at a very young age between an airplane and unidentified flying object. I'm not stating that it's extraterrestrial, but it's definitely not an airplane. It couldn't have been drones in 1996 in Hungary. I mean, we were broke, like, wow. No one owned drones, couldn't be really military, couldn't be anything. Unidentified. There's really nothing more to say about that. Time went on until the next sighting. It was in the summer of 2005. We were on our way to a very different city, about 150 kilometers, that's a little less than 100 miles away. The bus started its journey in the dawn hours. So it was practically dark when it went off. And at the break of dawn, we were at the height of Tamási. It's a minor city in Hungary, not much to say about it. But as the bus went on between the hills, my mom or my dad, can't remember, spotted something in the sky that wasn't there before. It was really strong, cold, white light. As we were looking at it, because it didn't look like any of the stars, didn't look like anything, it appeared from basically nowhere. As they were looking at it, started to, how to say, morph from a dot to a line. At that time, I thought it was morphing itself, but later I came to the conclusion, how to put it, the conclusion that it must have been a cigar-shaped object. And at first, we were looking at it from the tip, and as the boss went on and made its way through the hills, we got to take a look at it from the side as well. That is why it became a line. The weird thing is that my dad had his camera with him. It was a pretty vintage piece by that time. It looked like some kind of military equipment. It was really huge. Some people thought that he was from the state TV or whatnot, because that thing was really huge. It was high-end technology back then. It recorded directly to the VHS tape in a really nice way. It gave a pretty good picture at the end. He thought, gotta take a video of it. He took out the camera, zoomed in, and tried to switch the thing on, and it didn't switch on. He pushed the power button on and on and on and on again. Nothing. The battery was completely loaded, because that's how he operates. He's a precise man. The tape was empty. Then again, he's a precise man. And the thing didn't manage to turn on. As the boss went on between the hills, made a few turns, and we lost sight of this object in the sky. And suddenly, the camera turned on. So we have fantastic pictures of the dawn sky and nothing else. It still gives me goosebumps how that that is possible. I don't know if there's any logical explanation for a purely electronic device not to turn on when pointed on an unidentified flying object, but it happened. And breaks my heart that we have no footage of that craft, because it looked awesome. I have sent you a reconstruction about that as well. It's pretty accurate. I have managed to find the exact location on Google Street View and also the type of the bus sitting, because I'm kind of a nerd about public transport. So that was the second sighting that I have really clear memories of. The third sighting that I would like to speak about, it doesn't belong to me. It's from my wife. Back then, I didn't know her. But at the beginning of our relationship, she told me this. The strange thing is that it must have been so extraordinary, I couldn't grasp it, why she wasn't out of her mind when she saw that. She was on a train to a larger city named Pécs, that's in the south part of Hungary. The train goes around the Mecsek Mountains, beautiful area. Really recommended for everyone who's willing to visit Hungary. And as she was staring out of the window, she saw something that she just described as a three-bladed fan with an almost brushed-like metallic surface. What she thought initially is that it's a wind generator. And she thought, what moron puts a wind generator in a valley between the hills? Because this thing was rotating clockwise. Not really fast, but visibly rotating. And that she was just staring out at this thing she thought was a generator. This object turned vertically and flew away. And she couldn't figure out what the heck that could have been, because a generator doesn't fly away. No known man-made flying object behaves like that. And the whole thing was just unexplainable. And what I wrote you in my email, when I was listening to episode 107, a lady spoke there, described a really similar object that she encountered in Judy Woods. It's pretty eerie. I kind of said that it wasn't part of this sighting, but yeah, it was something. It must have been something. What she told me, that the thing was hovering above the ground, really close, really, really close to the ground, it almost touched it. And the diameter was like a two-story house. As she said, it must have been approximately 10 feet, if I have to say something, because it was not that high, like a two-story house. It was like a one-story house plus a roof, a common Hungarian concept of building houses. So it was not a large object, but still hard to grasp what that must have been. Going on to spring 2010, I was with my wife, then girlfriend. We were kind of dating, getting to know each other, and we used to hang out at an abandoned factory in our hometown, Dohovár, which had a pretty neat water tower, approximately 100 feet high. No one gave a damn about what we were doing there. Pretty ideal for a couple in their late teens to hang out. And we were just sitting up at the top of that water tower one evening. It was pitch black. You think it's rather nice. It was pitch black. And as we were looking out on the surrounding fields, we discovered a strange white orb that was ascending from ground level. It made a perfect quarter circle trajectory and flew away then horizontally. No man-made device makes that. An airplane has a very different trajectory. A helicopter doesn't have to make a quarter circle. It can lift itself up vertically. Really can't tell what that was, but as far as I know, it was unidentified and flying and probably an object. So I must say it was a UFO. It was pretty far away from us, approximately 2 kilometers. That's a bit more than 1 mile. And the diameter, hard to say. I would say 10 feet. Really can't tell. And the height it was flying was probably 500 feet. It just got lost on the horizon, disappeared behind the tree line. So no sudden movement or anything like that was discovered. It was just taken off from a nearby field in a cold white glow. Moving on to the next one. That's one of my favorites. It was Page, the aforementioned city, September 2010. My wife, back then girlfriend, went to college there, and I was there helping her move in, and we got word that there's a concert nearby. A really small band, they doesn't even exist anymore. The concert was tiny. It was outdoors, which was nice, on the hillside. Approximately 50 to 100 people were there, but really it was a small gig. It was quite the evening. The sky was this purplish-grayish shade. And as we were just sitting there on the hillside, people around us started to yell, "What is that?" and pointed at the sky. As we looked up, we saw a really bright orange orb. And then another. And then another. In total, there were 5 orbs flying in an almost perfect alignment behind each other at a rapid pace, and they were really bright orange. People say to these orange lights that they are only Chinese lanterns, or those lanterns people use at weddings or whatnot. But I have seen Chinese lanterns standing close to them, from a distance, whatever, they flicker, they bounce. These things had a really heavy glow, really bright orange glow, and that kept on right until we lost contact with them when they went down the horizon. It's such a long path for a Chinese lantern to go. They would just burn out until then. These things had their own light sources. It wasn't a candle or any lit oil or something like that. These things were really bright and moving at a rapid pace. And it's been a mass sighting because basically the whole concert saw that. Because of that reason, when I got home, I thought, let's do a Google search about it. Maybe there are some accounts about that. And I found some from a year before that, when one of the council members of the Hungarian Flight Association was attempting a wedding and basically saw the same thing. And people also claim that, oh, those must have been Chinese lanterns, wedding lanterns. And come on, the guy's from the Hungarian Flight Association. He can tell a Chinese lantern from an unidentified flying object or a man-made plane or anything. So I felt quite verified about that sighting. These things, if I had to guesstimate, were flying at about 500 feet, pretty close to the ground, and they each had a diameter of 10 feet. But it's really hard to tell because these are just orbs of light. You couldn't see a craft or anything like that. They were absolutely silent. Nothing to really help to guess. Moving on, it's another orange light in my hometown, Dombóvár. It was the 19th of March, 2011, my birthday, actually. We were going to an ad hoc birthday party. My friends were throwing me, really lovely people. Because it's the early spring, it's pitch black at 7 o'clock already, at 7 p.m. We were just leaving my parents' home when we looked up at the sky and saw a really bright orange light again. I couldn't say we were used to that, but we just said, oh, another one. And as we were staring at it, my then girlfriend, now wife, yelled out, you can see the craft. I was like, what do you mean? What craft? I can only see the light. No, look behind it. It's there. And as I was focusing on the night sky, that wasn't, you know, that black. It was kind of a really, really, really dark gray. You could see a black elliptical shape behind that orange light. I was mesmerized because that was the first time that I have actually saw something solid moving in the sky that I cannot explain. The thing went from west to east at rapid pace, and it went all over the sky. We lost contact with it when it went behind the rooftops. There were a few other people on the street, but they didn't give a damn about it, as usual. People tend to look before their feet, not to fall over. They aren't looking at the sky, even if you beg them to. So the thing was pretty stunning because you could actually see some craft, a solid thing, emitting that light at the front of it. I tried to make a reconstructional picture about that. Try to grasp it. It's like 90% accurate. The street lights were much dimmer back then. They were renewed a few years ago, and they are kind of blinding now. But back then, the whole city was darker. It was easier to spot something in the sky. I don't have to tell you that. But when we arrived at the party, I screamed out, "I saw a UFO!" And all of my friends were, yeah, I know, you do all the time. Come on, sit down, have a drink. So UFO apathy, as usual. Moving on, we are in the year of 2011. On the 20th of June, I know because I have the date stamp on the picture that I was trying to take of what I saw. I was on the train from Dombóvár to Budapest, the capital where I live now. It was the break of dawn, and I was at the height of Tamási, where the second sighting from the summer 2005 took place. So I was just staring out the window of the train. I saw a cold white light hanging in the sky. First I thought, huh, Venus is still up, should be, and not there. I looked around. I saw no other celestial objects, bodies. It was really at the base. We were getting from dawn to morning, so the night sky was already pretty bright in the morning, so stars shouldn't be visible at that point. Then I thought, okay, it must be a reflection on the window of the train, so I pulled the window down. It's still there. Okay, it's still there. I was so deranged, I had to ask a fellow passenger, sorry, do you see that white light in the sky? Yes, I do. Okay, so I'm not crazy. I was relieved. Okay, I had my camera with me back then all the time. It was a pretty neat compact camera, but 10 times optical zoom, you know, the usual stuff back then in 2011. I tried to take a picture of it, and as I checked it back on the display, nothing. Can be. I see it. The other passenger sees it. I tried to take another picture, and then another, and then another. And now I have 4 beautiful pictures from a nearby hillside and the morning sky, and nothing of that bright, cold, white orb. I don't know how they can manage not to get caught on camera, but they do. I even tried to distort these pictures in different ways in Photoshop. So maybe there's a glitch in the pixels. There must be something. I saw it with my own eyes. A fellow passenger saw it as well. How come my camera doesn't see it? And it didn't. About the size and height, I would say it was about 1 mile away from me at 1,000 feet height and had a diameter of 10 to 20 feet. Really hard to tell. It was static. It was just hanging in the sky and then suddenly disappeared. Just blinked out. It wasn't there anymore. Moving on, in the same year, 2011, it was the 20th of August. It's a national holiday in Hungary. That's pretty much going on. We are celebrating our 1,000-year-old country and so forth. Giant fireworks, usual drill. And my wife was on her way to meet me in a bus stop. I was coming home from somewhere else. And as she was running down the stairs of our Budapest apartment, she looked out of the window of the staircase and saw 5 orange orbs flying from west to east at a rapid pace in a formation. The first 3 orbs formed a triangle, and the latter 2 orbs followed them. It looked like a perfect arrow shape. They stayed in that formation the whole time she was able to keep visible contact with it. And they didn't swap places. They were just flying that way. What is interesting with this west to east flight pattern is that the wind in Budapest usually blows from the north to the south. It is extremely rare that we have west to east winds. Wasn't west to east wind probably that day as well. I have to check it, but there's a really minimal chance of that. So these things were flying on their own power. Couldn't be in Chinese lanterns or wedding lanterns or whatnot again, because they had a very different way of movement, just keeping their formation, not bouncing all over the place. And they had a really heavy glow again. There's one more that I would like to talk about. It happened to me just recently while after I wrote you my email. It was on the 1st of July 2021. It was rainy day. Some thunderstorms came in the night and kind of hooked up on making photographs of lightnings because they're awesome. They are. And I was on our balcony with my tripod and, okay, just a silly smartphone, but makes pretty good pictures. I took long exposure pictures of the sky, some pretty badass. The others are just rubbish. But as I was making these pictures, taking such a picture takes at least 10 minutes. I was just staring at the sky, because why not keep watching the sky? And from the edge of my eye, I saw a white flash just in the middle of the sky. I looked there, and I saw a really blurry white dot in the sky, just moving at a steady pace. Okay, never mind, could be anything. Satellite, don't know. And then I saw another really strong white flash, like someone used the camera on the rooftop of the neighboring house. It was really hard. And as I looked there, I saw that white orb hanging in the sky. I had my phone with me. I had my tripod with me. I zoomed in at it and just started to say, please stay there. Please stay there. Let me take a picture. Please, please, please. Let me. I started the exposure, and as I finished, that thing just blinked out, and I was excited to see the picture, and it was loading and loading and still loading. Okay, let's take another one just from the sky. It appeared perfectly. Another one. It appeared perfectly. Okay, back to the picture of the alleged UFO. It's still loading, and it is still loading on my phone to this day. No one can tell how that is possible. I have even sent an email to the manufacturer about some tech support, how to make a picture stop loading. They couldn't tell what they are facing, because no, that shouldn't happen. I have pushed the button. Yes. Started the exposure. Yes. I have pushed it again. Yes. Finished the exposure. Yes. Then it should appear. And it doesn't appear still to this day. Not even on my computer. I sent the email, uploaded it through a data cable. Nothing. It's unbelievable for me how these things can solve that not to appear on digital photographs. So, basically, that's all about my most relevant sighting.
Great job, Daniel.
Thank you.
And that photograph is still loading to this day.
Yes, yes. It's still just running in circles, you know, that little gray whatnot on a blank white background. I took several screenshots of it. Maybe it's just a visualization error or something. No, it's not existent. I took the photograph and it's still loading. And it was the 1st of July, 2022.
They don't seem to like to be filmed sometimes.
And I even begged them to let me, but it seems that I wasn't allowed to do it this time. And my father wasn't allowed to do it in 2005. And I also wasn't allowed to do it in 2011 with that white orb from the train. I don't know how people manage to get these things on camera. I mean, if they have some system to block these devices from taking the picture from them, I don't know if they have specific measurement that's taken when they notice that people are trying to make photographs of them. Because sometimes I see excellent pictures and they are impossible to debunk. They are real. They must be real. Other times I have no freaking luck with it.
And I think a lot of people can relate to this. I mean, these days everyone has a camera. But, you know, these days it's all on the phone, and these camera phones, even though they're quite, you know, they're relatively high tech, they're not great for taking pictures of objects in the sky from a distance. You know,
yeah, sure.
They just come out as like little dots or blurry, or people tend to focus a little bit too much. You know, I've heard it endless amount of times where people have tried taking pictures and either the camera doesn't work, the batteries run out. So it's strange.
Yes, and I was thinking about that, you know, the good old days when we used cameras with films in them. That was a completely electronics-free system. Light entered it, and it made a mark on the film. It must have been a hell of a lot easier to take pictures back then, because you cannot block that kind of technology, that basic technology.
The thing with those days was not everybody had those cameras, and certainly not everyone was carrying them around with us. I see what you're saying there. You know, if people can get their hands on the old type of film cameras, and you might have a little bit more success taking pictures of these objects than you do with your camera phone.
Yes. And whenever I talk with skeptics, they always have this argument that how come that no one ever took a decent photograph of a UFO? We have 10, 20, 40 whatnot megapixel cameras on the phone and no decent photograph. How come? I cannot think of any other solution that they are just simply blocking these devices.
That would certainly make a lot of sense. And I think a lot of people, when they do get, you know, relatively good video or pictures, a lot of it is luck.
I guess maybe they take those pictures undetected. Or I don't know if this blocking, if I may put it like that, applies to every device in the area or only those that are deliberately trying to take a photograph of their craft or something. I don't know, but that's the only thing that I can think of. And myself and my father also tried to take pictures of these things at least three times that I have just told you, and nothing. the device won't turn on, or there will be nothing visible, or the picture won't load. I'm kind of a bad luck, Brian. I don't know.
I mean, like you said, you know, I mean, you obviously know what you're doing when it comes to a camera because, you know, you do DSL photography with Lightning. Okay, so you got to know what you're doing with that. Your father knew what he was doing, so there's no chance that, you know, he would forget to put the batteries in or it'd be dead. So it's frustrating. I know it's how frustrating it can be for people.
It is. It is indeed. I also have a paranormal one that I wanted to talk about, if we still have the time.
I certainly do. Let's hear it, Daniel.
Thank you, Nick. So this thing occurred on the 18th of July, 2008. I also have photographs of the place. That is why I can tell you the exact date. It was in an abandoned railway repair shop in Budapest, Hungary. We were just hanging out with a few railway enthusiasts. I'm one of them as well. And as we were just ramping all over the place, I started to take a peek into more, I don't know, offices, workshops, you know, in the distant edge of a larger building. The whole place is really eerie. Rusty, abandoned trains all over, shattered glass. I mean, it's magnificent if you're into this urban exploration thing, and also if you're a railway enthusiast, because you see all railway vehicles, and you can go close to them, and they are rusty, and they look like shit, and it's awesome. So as I was wandering around the area, I stepped into a workshop. Yeah, that's rotting. I stepped into the other one. This one's rotting as well. And I was going around like that. As I stepped into one specific such room, it's really hard to grasp what it was. I felt like someone stepped on my chest, or if someone was trying to push the air out of my lungs. And while it happened, it seemed like 20 people were talking to me at the same time. Like I was dropped in the middle of a parliament debate. It was really hard to grasp what that was, but that pain, that pressure in the chest, I 100% sure that I felt that. And the sounds, I couldn't make out any words. They're like they were speaking Hungarian because, you know, Hungarian has a really specific rhythm and pronunciation to it. It's one of the hardest languages on earth, and I do not envy anyone who tries to learn that. But it sounded like Hungarian, but spoken by many dozen people. And I had this sensation, I jumped back. I'm not a sportsman, but I have probably jumped back 3 meters from a standing position. And I don't know why, but I have decided not to take another step into the direction of that room. With my present brain and not the brain of an 18-year-old self, I would have gone back into that room again and started to figure out what that is. What am I experiencing? But yeah, it's just pretty eerie. And this place is like super abandoned. It's an industrial facility. I don't know how many people had different accidents there that may have even cost their lives. It was attacked in the Second World War, bombarded really heavy by the Allies. Probably, again, many people died there during that period. And the whole thing is just creepy. I've sent you a picture just to get the atmosphere of the place. The picture was taken on that specific day, but I haven't taken a picture of that room. I didn't go back, and a few years later, when I had the possibility to visit that so-called train graveyard again, I went through all the rooms, and of course not. That was a once-in-a-lifetime thing, and it freaked me out, and I escaped. I feel sorry for that, because I am quite a believer of these things. Both paranormal, the ghost world, the extraterrestrials, the UFOs, the everything. It's like questioning the existence of a higher power. Yes, you can stay as material as you want, but give me one reason these things can't exist. And if they can exist, they probably do. Take a look at this vast universe that we are living in. No man in their righteous mind can that we are alone, and the only real experience we can have in this world is what we see around us, this material world. Such narrow-mindedness that I cannot understand. And plenty of people that I tried to talk with about this subject showed these symptoms, how to put it. They are just not willing to discuss this topic. because it's not something you can put your hand on. It's not something you can own. It's not something in the material world. So it's creepy. For it's creepy, let's just say it doesn't exist and everything's back to normal. That's all.
True words spoken by Daniel. You're absolutely right.
Thank you, Nick. Thank you, Nick.
Are you intrigued by Paranormal Talk Radio? You'll love the new Paranormal Radio app from TalkStream Live. You'll find a great selection of talk shows covering UFOs, ghosts, strange phenomena, and much more. Download the Paranormal Radio app now and start listening to the very best in paranormal talk entertainment, including the network you're listening to right now, the Paranormal Radio app, free in Google Play and the iOS App Store.
Just another short thought. I was really shocked by many of your guests when they talked about indescribable fear of the gray alien. Until a few weeks ago when I started to really binge your podcast, I thought that I'm crazy, that I have unexplainable fear of the gray aliens, because I had it ever since I was a small child. I have plenty of previous phobias. See, I'm afraid of dead birds. Does that make any sense? It doesn't. But still, when I see one, I scream and I jump. But if I had to look at it, I mean, that's sick. But if I had to look at it, I could. Not with the grays. I tried kind of a stress therapy on myself, looking at 3D animations, looking at pictures, artistic renders, anything. And I cannot keep looking at the gray aliens. I don't know what is wrong with me. I have zero memories about ever encountering one, but they are just freaking me out. And it is kind of a relief to hear that other people have similar symptoms as well.
Indeed, you're not the only one, Daniel.
And if I could ask anything from a higher power, I don't really give a damn about the meaning of life, because it's 42, we all know that. what's in the afterlife? I don't know. I will get there sometimes. I really don't worry about that. What I would really want to know is that why am I and plenty of others are deeply scared and terrified by the gray aliens? And people who are abductees tell that they're nice, or at least neutral. They don't harm you. They have this kind of positive vibe or relaxing vibe. I don't know. Whenever I see a picture, I just scream and run away, or close my eyes, or scroll really fast over my phone. I don't know. I would really love to know that why people have this unexplainable fear.
You can certainly tell you're a Douglas Adams fan. 42.
It is indeed.
You're absolutely right. What's going on in the skies of Hungary? It seems a very active place. There must be countless of sightings in Hungary that we don't hear about.
Oh, yes, it is. It is. It is an active place. And the area of my hometown, I just recently found a map showing possible UFO activity on a map with different sizes of gray alien heads marking the more or less active areas. I was kind of devastated by that, but whatever. It is an active area. It's really hard to tell what is true and what is only made up. But I'm pretty convinced by my own sightings. There are some really strange people, rock musicians and other deranged minds, who claim that they are abducted, multiple abductees, and they are a laughing matter. That's also a pretty bad thing whenever you start talking about UFOs with people. That, oh, okay, so you're just like that rock singer. Uh-huh. Abductee as well. Do they come for you now? Do you see them now? No, I don't. It's terrible how people can use this subject for their own purposes, probably getting a few articles in low-tier tabloids or whatnot. But yes, in total, Hungary is kind of active, mostly the mountainous region. We have a pretty big lake called Balaton, the northern side of it, the so-called Bakony Mountains. That is definitely a hot spot. And like-minded friend of mine, I'm planning a visit there in the early autumn. Just looking up at the sky and probably shitting our pants. Because if there's some place where it's likely to be something explainable, unidentified, then it's that place, the Bocconi. So yeah, plenty of things going on. Commercial airplane pilots have some sightings. Of course, they only talk about that after they are retired. Air Force pilots have their own sightings. And people slowly but surely are coming forward with this. So I hope in a few years there will be some change of tide in this topic, not just in the world, but also in Hungary. Some files were declassified by us as well, and there are some accounts, mostly military, that might raise some eyebrows. As far as I know, the book was only published in Hungarian about the Hungarian UFO files. I will get in contact with the author. Maybe he can get it translated by someone who's qualified enough to do it in an adequate manner. And maybe people in Hungary and outside of Hungary as well would start looking at the Hungarian skies more often. My sister, she's also pretty much into this topic. She also had a book called UFO Encyclopedia with a gray alien on its cover. I was terrified all the time. But yeah, I read it several times. Also an enthusiast, and probably got my enthusiasm from her party. And we just had a chat, and she asked me, how come you always see these things and I see nothing? I asked her, are you watching the skies? She was like, no, then maybe you should, because they are there. And just as I said that, something just blinked out in the corner of my left eye. Usual things. So you can, just by looking at the sky, you can see a handful of unexplainable things that aren't satellites, aren't airplanes or helicopters or any type of man-made things, aren't drones especially, because today, whenever you see something unexplainable, people just say, oh, drones, they are drones. No, I can tell a drone from something that's unidentified. So, yeah.
You're absolutely right. You know, if you're not watching the skies, you're not going to see anything. So you're absolutely right. You know, if you're watching the skies, there's a lot of amazing things to see. And you're right. The tide is changing around the world and hopefully in Hungary as well. I know I have a lot of listeners in Hungary. I know you're out there. Get in contact. I want to hear your sightings and experiences. And especially if you're military, if you've been involved in the military, you're a civilian pilot, also get in touch. It's like a family affair, you know. Your sister is interested, you're interested, your father was taking pictures, your mother was obviously interested because she spent how many nights out there on a balcony watching the skies?
Yes, my mother is obsessed. She's completely obsessed with it. And it's really easy to develop such an interest about this topic in a family where people are interested in it and not agnostic, rather skeptic. So yeah, that was a huge help, if I may put it that way.
And Hungary in general, is there much interest in this subject? I mean, do you see reports on the news and newspapers?
No, not really. The low tier tabloids and really messy commercial TV shows sometimes take on this topic. We also have a UFO magazine here that is just simply rubbish. There's also a Hihetetlen, that translates to incredible magazine, rubbish as well. It still feels like we are in the 90s just exploring these things, and there's very little serious matter in this subject. So it will probably still take a few years for authors, experiencers, maybe abductees to come forward in a fashion that the people will take them seriously, at least a bit. Because, as I told you, some deranged rock stars here use the thing abduction as a matter to their personal fame, as a road away to their personal fame. And I'm convinced that these people were never abducted.
So they basically use it as a form of publicity.
A form of publicity, gaining clout, and making a fool of themselves, of course, and just making this whole subject matter a joke. That is why I'm extremely angry about it.
Yeah, it's a shame. There are people out there that do that. And it's bad because the people that have really had these experiences, they don't want to come forward because they will feel, you know, they will be ridiculed and made a joke of.
Yes.
Because of charlatans and people which are obscuring the truth.
Yes, indeed. And whenever I try to talk to people about my sightings, they're all like, oh, okay, miss me with that shit. I don't care. Go to that rock musician and hold hands with each other. Nah, I don't care. And that apathy, to get over with that and whole ignorance, it will take many years of hard and honest work from people who really believe their own eyes.
Absolutely. The tide is changing. We need more people coming forward. We need journalists that are going to report on these things in a proper manner, not as a joke. They don't have a picture of a stuffed alien or anything from the X-Files on the front of the newspaper or magazine. It needs to be done, looked at seriously, and it has to be looked at by scientists in your country as well. And we need pilots coming forward.
Ah, yes. Whenever I start talking about sightings, someone always starts to whistle the X-Files theme song.
I've had it done to myself, don't worry. And I like the X-Files.
Yes, it's awesome, but still a form of ridicule. Can't put it any other way. They think it's still some sci-fi nonsense, and it has nothing to do with reality. Some light in the sky. There must be an explanation. Yes, there is an explanation. It's an unidentified flying object. What's more, tell about it.
Exactly. And it's easier for people to point a finger than to have the finger point at them. So, you know, it's a serious subject. And these people all over the world are having these experiences.
Yes, they do. As far as I heard, South American countries are more open-minded about all UFO subject matter.
They are, and they have been for a long time, especially the military. They are constantly coming out and saying, this happened, this. Other countries, not so much. You know, they like to keep secrets, unfortunately. But people need to be more like, you know, the South American countries and be more open, because this is happening. You know, whether people like it or not, these things are happening.
Indeed. And Hungary is also in NATO, so whenever our military wants to maybe leak something down to the public, no, we are in a really strict military alliance with the United States and plenty of other countries who are way more developed than we are. And yeah, we are not playing second fiddle, we're playing 50th fiddle this whole game. So I really don't see our military coming forward and standing out on the podium and just yelling out to the world, yes, these things are real, and we don't know who they are. Or maybe we do, but yeah, it's too early for you to know about that.
This information is not going to be coming out via the government. You know, they're just going to give you little tidbits. They always will do. This information is going to come from people, okay? The everyday people, the people which are interested in the subject. We need, you know, so we need people coming forward. We need people that were in the military, you know, that obviously if you're in the military and you had a sight and you never told anyone, come forward, because this is how this stuff comes out. And they will reach a point where the military, the governments will have no choice but to have to start telling the truth, because it's in their face. It's everywhere. People are talking about it.
Well, Nick, I really hope so, because really, I feel like something's changing, and I have high hope looking forward to the next decade. I'm not expecting the UFO to land on the White House lawn, as people always say, or on the Kossuth Square in front of the Hungarian parliament, but I really have high hopes that we are going to get a clearer picture about what's going on in our skies and in our seas, in our mountains, because they are everywhere, and we just have to keep our eyes open.
We have to keep watching the skies, Daniel.
Indeed.
Good job, Daniel.
Thank you, Nick. It was a pleasure talking to you, and thank you very much for the opportunity. I'm really glad that this podcast is running up this way, because, yeah, the bird must get out, and I wish you a lot of power editing all these material and looking forward to hearing the new episodes. And also, if you could put it in, if there are people in my area, mostly the Budapest area, the capital, who have similar sightings and are interested in organizing some Skywatcher groups, I would be more than happy to participate in that. And you can give them my contact.
Wonderful idea. Have you set up a Facebook account or anything like that yet?
I have my personal Facebook page, and you can give them my email address as well. It's not that personal.
Wonderful. Okay. To our Hungarian listeners out there, if you're interested in meeting up with Daniel for a Skywatch and maybe talking about UFOs, I will put his links below in the description. So, you know, you guys can get something together and hopefully start spreading this information and start getting people interested in the subject in Hungary.
Thank you very much, Nick. That's lovely.
Daniel, I really appreciate you coming on and sharing that for our listeners.
Thank you for having me, Nick, and have a lovely evening.
You're more than welcome, Daniel. And it was good talking to you and meeting you, Daniel, okay?
Thank you very much, Nick. Really appreciate it. Excellent podcast. Good luck with it.
Thank you, Daniel. Take care of yourself.
Thank you.
Bye for now.
Bye.
That's all for today. Keep updated and connected with the show on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And if you have an encounter that you'd like to share on the podcast, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com, or you can reach out to me via the contact page on my website at ufochroniclespodcast.com. A big thank you to Blas and Daniel for sharing tonight. And as always, thank you all for listening. I will be back next week. Till then, stay safe and keep watching the skies. Goodbye.